Last day of school, garbage bins in the middle of the hallway. Throw out anything you can't recognize out of your locker. Don't take classes seriously. It's the last day of the season for the Toronto Raptors. Kind of officially, kind of unofficially. They wrapped up the schedule yesterday. They lost. They finished 30-52. They have the 7th best lottery odds. May 12th is the draft lottery night. And then today is end of season player media availabilities. Darko Rajakovic will go tomorrow. Masai Ujiri will speak later in the week. But for us, Matt, this is it. This is the last episode of the Raptors show. How you feeling?
Ready to do it. You know, we're pros, Blake. We go hard till the end, till we're asked to stop. And after today, we're asked to stop. They don't want us doing shows on draft workouts, I guess.
No, I mean, there is a whole bunch of playoff basketball. We could just talk about non-Raptors stuff for a little while. But the Blue Jays are cooking. They need me over there. They need this time slot. Despite hitting almost no home runs and not having a huge run differential, they're cooking. And then we get right after the show, basically, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s press conference about his 14-year, $500 million
half a bill
contract. Yeah, half a B.
Half a B. That's
a lot of cake.
700 in Canadian?
No, it's more in Canadian.
Yeah, 700 million.
Yeah, I don't know what the dollar is right now, but it's not good.
Nope.
No, not great. So, so it is locker cleanout. Brandon Ingram and Scotty Barnes spoke a little earlier. Jakob Poeltl is speaking right now. Chris Boucher did what he does every year and crashed some of the interviews to take photos and be silly and stuff like that. We will play some of those for you throughout the course of the show. Again, Darko is going tomorrow. Masai Ujiri later in the week. Couple updates for you off the top. So Raptors lost both their games. Didn't affect anything in the standings. Scotty Barnes tied a career high yesterday with 35 points. Jamison Battle hit 7 threes to finish second in rookie three-point shooting in Raptors history by volume. Jonathan Mobo flirted with two more triple-doubles over the weekend. Colin Castleton and A.J. Lawson got the two slots that we talked about over Orlando Robinson and Cole Swider, so they'll be with the team through the summer with a chance to compete next year.
And Blake has been fired as Orlando Robinson's agent.
Yes, I've been let go, but I'm now Jared Roden. I'm now Jared Roden's agent, so we're good. Yeah. We're good. I'll start the hype train early for that. Unfortunate news in yesterday's game, but with a silver lining at the end. Garrett Temple left yesterday's game hurt. Malachi Branham fell into his left knee sideways on a defensive rebound. Garrett left the game, had to be helped to the back. MCL sprain.
Guess what, Blake? I've had that injury.
MCL sprain?
Does not require surgery.
There you go.
Just physical therapy, so that's good for Garrett.
Does it prevent, like, do you have to not do load-bearing exercises in the sense that three sandwiches would be too heavy for you to carry while you rehab?
Sandwiches, no. Golf, I'm sorry to say, Garrett, might be an issue. It depends what grade it is. I had grade 3, so I was out like 5 weeks. If it's grade 1, maybe it's just a week or two. Okay. So it just depends on the severity.
Yeah, I mean, at least he got to check out of that game in time to watch Rory at the Masters yesterday. Meltdown several times and then win it in a playoff.
Emotional roller coaster watching that.
Great stuff. A couple other notes from before media availabilities today. Brandon Ingram said that he responded well to the platelet-rich plasma injection that he got in his ankle. He said he had felt some discomfort. He kind of aggravated as he ramped back up. He is set to be reevaluated in May, but said responded well to the PRP so far. Scotty Barnes talked about how his finger issue was preventing him from, you know, feeling the ball properly, shooting well, and things like that. Except the last game. He is expected to heal just with rest and be ready for his full summer workout program. Grady Dick is tracking for on-court activity in May as he works back from the bone bruise there. Ulrich Shamsche still targeting summer league as his potential return date. So obviously he'd hopefully have a ramp-up period before then. So nothing too unexpected there, but there are the injury updates from the start of media availability.
It's a big summer.
It is. It's a huge summer.
In your early, mid-20s, like you take advantage of those summers to get better. Like, put the work in. As you get in your 30s, it turns into a little more cruise control, in my opinion. I don't know who we have at that level. Maybe Jakob.
That's it.
Jakob, just keep doing what you're doing, Jakob.
Yeah. And I'd say Chris Boucher, but Boucher's a free agent, so we'll see anyway. But
yeah.
But that's it. Everyone else is like 27 and under.
Like, how does Boucher work on his game? He just like finds a pickup game and just goes nuts and just scores 50 points in
chaos
5 minutes.
Engine, like, yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of shooting to it.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I know, but it is funny that like his style of game. Yeah. No, I just wanted to shout out that he had his second best three-point shooting.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's such a unique player. Nobody else really in the league does what he does.
No.
You just drop him in and see what happens.
Yeah, and for those who have not been happy about his treatment down the stretch or lack of playing or whatever, he spoke to Michael Grange about it last week. You can read the piece at sportsnet.ca. He knew the deal, being a good teammate through all of this, and like I said, fooling around at locker clean-out day. So he's obviously in good enough spirits to still bomb all the interviews and things like that. We'll see what his future holds. Before we play some Scotty Barnes audio, you were commentating curling all weekend. How, other than the sad tournament turnout for my guy Brad Gajou, who didn't even make the playoff rounds that you were commentating, how was commentating the curling?
It was a blast. I had so much fun. Your friend John Cullen, great guy, made things really easy for me. Great sense of humor, great music taste. Mm-hmm. Definitely like got along great with him and everybody over there. It's funny, like, I mean, not that anyone involved in a sport isn't excited and proud of their sport, but the curling community is really, it's about the curling, you know? Everybody's just super excited to watch and support curling, and they embraced me with open arms, and I learned a lot. I got a curling lesson. And I think they're gonna, the Grand Slam of Curling socials, they're gonna put some of that stuff up at some point, some of that content up.
Nice.
Let's just say it was really fun. I definitely want to do it again. I need to do some yoga.
Sore hips after?
No, the hard part is you get into that lunge slide before you let the rock go. Getting up from that is an issue for me. And I knew it was going to be. I'm one of those guys, like, if I go down at this point, like, it takes me a little bit to get back up for whatever reason. So getting down in that position on ice, which I'm not super familiar with anymore, and then having to get back up was an issue. But I know what I need to do now.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just like some yoga, some balance stuff, some mobility stuff, and then I get out of that position. I'm ready to rock and roll.
So as we talk to Brandon Ingram, Scotty Barnes, RJ Barrett, hey, what are you working on this offseason? Your answer is
curling. Also, the sweeping, oh my goodness.
Those guys.
That's exhausting.
Look, the skips are pretty, like, lean and smaller, but the guys who have to sweep, those guys are, like, and women are, like, low-key jacked.
It's like doing intervals. Like the highest intensity intervals, like you're all upper body core sweeping.
Hurry.
After one rock, I was like dying.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, in 30 seconds, guess what? You got to do it again. Then you got to do it again and again for a couple hours, three times maybe in one day. A lot of respect for the fitness level of those people.
Yeah. At the highest levels, for sure. Okay, so while you were doing that, the Raptors lost two games. We don't need to go into it too much. Scotty tied a career high, like I said, in 35 points. Jamison Battle had a great game Sunday. Ochai had a great game Friday. Jonathan Mobo close to a triple-double in both occasions. So shout out to those guys who closed the season pretty strong. Scotty Barnes did get to 65 games. And shout out to the Spurs, the first team since 2017-2018 to have three players play all 82 games, Chris Paul, Harrison Barnes, and Julian Champagne, and Steph Castle played 81. The first team in 7 years to have three guys play 82 games. Hopefully the Raptors can be a little closer than, hey, we had one guy play more than 65 games.
And two of them old heads.
Yeah. Yeah, it shows you that there's something to that where it's like, you know how to take care of your body, you know.
And the mentality, yeah. I think, has a lot to do with it.
Definitely. So a lot of the talk, at least the interviews so far, Brandon Ingram, Scotty Barnes, and Jakob Poeltl have all gone already today. A lot of optimism about what the future looks like. Scotty Barnes was very optimistic. Jakob Poeltl thinks the team's heading in the same in the right direction. Brandon Ingram talked very glowingly about, you know, the relationships he started building with the organization and with some of his teammates and you know, his early workouts and things like that. We're obviously not going to have time today to play all of that for you, but I do want to play the Scotty Barnes availability. One, because, you know, he opens with a nice message to fans and things like that. And two, because this is probably the most open and positive Scotty Barnes that we've heard from over the 4 years that he's been in Toronto. And, you know, now that he is, you know, firmly established as the face of the franchise and kind of the voice of that room, it's encouraging to hear him do not only a presser where he's optimistic and positive and things like that, but talks at length. It's the, you know, probably the longest we've heard Scotty Barnes speak. So let's play that now. Scotty Barnes, end of season media availability from a little earlier on this morning.
Season just ended, so I think we just had Brandon in here, and I'm just wondering what you're excited about for next year? So I want to start off by thanking all the fans. You know, they showed their love and support throughout the whole entire season. But through the bad moments, good moments, you know, they were here for us, cheering loud and proud. So I just want to thank the best fans in the world for that. But repeat that question again for me.
We just had Brandon in here, and I know the season's just over, but are you already kind of excited for next year and what could be?
For sure. Being with these guys every single day this season and seeing the progress that we made each and every single game, seeing people get better day in, day out, seeing how close we are, it just makes me super excited. I think if you seen my face last year throughout this time, I don't think I was probably looking the right way. But, you know, I'm pretty excited for what this team holds and what we're going to grow into. You know, we have a lot of great pieces on this team, and we're going to add another great piece. So I'm super excited for what we got started. It's only the beginning, and, you know, I see this team going a long way next year.
This was supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Raptors. Does it feel like the team has been rebuilt? Does it feel like a lot of turnover and ready for next year?
I love our team. We got a lot of great pieces. So I felt, like I said, I feel like we got what it takes. We got a great young core. Starting five's going to look crazy next year. We're still going to add, like I said, we're still going to add some talent. But with the things that we got in place, with our foundation and how we want to play and the side of the defensive end, how we want to guard and disrupt teams, you know, it all fits what we want. So we have the pieces, and, you know, we just got to make it happen.
Do you have any personal goals for next year, like all defense, you know, just, is there anything you want out of next year as an individual?
You know, I feel like I'm an all-defensive team type of player. But, you know, once those wins come with it, you know, that's how your name gets in those conversations. So once we start winning, my name's going to be in a lot more conversations. So, you know, time, that all that stuff is going to come. But me personally, you know, I just want to go out there and be consistent every single night. You know, this year, you know, I really had the ball in my hands a lot, where I was able to make those decisions, work on my game, and, you know, test things out. So that was good for me. So, you know, I know what I want to do. I envision myself of how physical, how strong I can be, attacking, create angles, get into different spaces, and how I'm be able to initiate the offense, creating. You know, next year you just got to go out there and put it on. Damn. But, like I said, yeah.
Based off, you know, the testing and experiments you had to do this year, if you're looking back at your season, is there anything you're trying to do this summer to work and fine-tune
the game? You know, like I said, I was working on my game. You see, throughout different times in the seasons, you see I was working on, you know, different things. Some games, some stretches throughout the season, you see me working on playing a lot in the mid-range, working on phase, getting to the middy, shooting pull-ups. Different times of the season, you saw me attacking really aggressive, getting to the rim, playmaking. Just about how am I going to insert that in every single game, do those things. Can't go away from it. Of course, shooting was a problem for me this year. And then once that comes together, you know, it's just going to make things take off even more. So, you know, all the experimenting or whatever, you know, it was just about, it was my first year, you know, having the ball in my hands for real. And then, you know, just find out what's going to work for me. So throughout the summer, just keep taking those things and then, you know, keep finding ways on how I'm going to be able to attack, get to the rim, And then, of course, just keep working on my shot.
To that point about experimenting while finding out what's going to work for you, what did you find out?
You know, I'm able to get to my spots. You know, I'm able to play out of the post if I want to. Play at the top, pick and roll. I'm able to find those mismatches. But I'm also be able to attack downhill. No matter if it's going to my left, going to my right, working on moves to create that space and, you know, attacking, blowing by the defender, making that next free from there. You know, and not shying away from that physicality. You know, be more dominant. You know, wasn't as dominant as I would like to be, but, you know, be more dominant, being more physical, using my body more than I was. I love, you know, I love the pass, to be honest. That's what I always done. So I love playing with people that really know how to score the ball. And Brandon's a person that you know, he really knows how to score the ball. Shoots really well, be able to get to the spots. You know, it's just going to open the floor way more. So I'm super excited to see how he's going to go into our offense, and I want to see him flourish. I'm really excited to see it, and, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I'm super excited to get into next year.
It seems like he's really absorbing what you guys want to do here. Like, he was just in talking about, like, he wants to pass more even though he's a scorer, and also just he didn't know how intense everyone was defensively, and he really wants to bring that as well. Is that encouraging to hear that he's already –
For sure. That's the offense we every game, you know, we're focusing on how many assists we can get, but, you know, it just comes in the natural of the game. So I'm sure it's just going to encourage him to be able to do that more. But, you know, we're all going to challenge him each and every single day when we're in practice, when we're out there on the floor. We're going to challenge him offensively to make those right reads, and defensively. We know he can do that. You know, he's been saying he's ready to do it, and, you know, we're ready to see him do that. You know, he's just keep bonding with him, keep trusting him with him, keep connecting with him, and, you know, we believe in him 100%.
At the beginning of the season, I remember I asked you what type of leader do you want to be, and if there's any players that you kind of even model your leadership after, but now that the season's done, what are your takeaways from kind of stepping into that true role of being a leader of a franchise? What did you learn?
You know, just being with these guys every single day, talking, communicating, you know, building trust, building actual friendships. You know, I think once you get to know these guys like I do, you know, it just makes it easy to be able to be someone that can lead for them. Going out there every single game, you know, just trying to put my body on the line. Just to fight with these guys. You know, I genuinely love these guys. Being with them every single day, you know, that's the worst part about having the season end so early, that you can't be with them every single day like how we're accustomed to being. But these guys just make it easy for me to lead. We play so hard throughout the game. We're so intense. We all are able to communicate and talk with each other throughout these moments. Off the floor, we're talking, smiling, you know. It just makes it so fun. So they make it so super easy for me.
Scotty, in terms of your off-season plan, how much have you thought about where you're actually going to be? Are you going to spend a lot of time in Toronto, go back to Florida? Sort of what's your schedule going to look like now?
I think that's, you know, that's what me and the team, you know, we're going to figure that out, what I'm going to be able to do. What I'm doing, you know, that's what we're going to talk about.
There's a lot of experimentation this season, and over the course of your career, even Masai last year said you made the all-star jump quicker than he would have expected. Are you a different player than you thought you would be when you got drafted? Have you developed in ways that have surprised yourself?
For sure. I think one thing about me, I don't really go into situations and really expect certain things. You know, when I first joined the league, I was No, I was just coming from college. You know, I was just super happy to be. I was just super happy to be in the NBA. You know, I was blessed. But you know, you see, my game is just constantly evolving. I'm constantly getting better. I'm still getting bigger and stronger. You know, it's fun. I enjoy it. You see me working on getting to my spots. I'm becoming more of a offensive threat than I ever was. So that's where my game is just going to keep constantly evolving on that offensive end. You know, I'm always be a pest on the defensive end. I'm always play super hard. I'm always guard. That's what I was started off to be in the NBA for, where I was on the map for. But my offensive game is just constantly growing. So, you know, it's still a work in progress where I can just keep developing and keep getting better.
Back to the communication aspect of leadership and all of that, you've obviously come very far as a vocal leader, as a public speaker. Can you speak to kind of what you've done specifically to be able to build those skills that honestly have nothing really to do with basketball and are more about engaging with the community, with the fans, with your teammates?
That's just something I just wanted to get better at. I think our team has helped me with that as well. Being able to, you know, being able to speak and being confident in speaking. Something that I worked on in the summer. I had someone to help me with it. But, you know, it just gives me more confidence, you know, more things to talk about, more things where I want to get my message out. Rather than, you know, creating agendas. So, you know, being more confident, knowing what I'm talking about, and getting what I want to say out.
Scotty, a bunch of rookies in this year obviously displayed a lot of growth from the start of the season to the end. Is it energizing for you just as, like, leader of the team to see this kind of infusion of young guys, and what were your impressions of the way they kind of expanded their games over the course of the year?
Our rookies was phenomenal. I think everyone's seen that we had a great last draft class. I think we, you know, Bobby and Masai, we trust. You know, they did a great job of finding these guys and putting those guys into our system, and it just fit perfectly. They really embraced what we really wanted to do here in Toronto, and they immediately brought the impact throughout this whole entire season. You know, they were impressive each and every single game. Aspects that you don't see rookies doing that from the jump right away. So super impressed with those guys. And they were amazing. They helped our team out so much. And they helped this team grow farther than what we expected to grow. I feel like they were one of the main fronts of building this team and how we're growing so fast. My expectations for the team next season. I expect us to do really good. For sure, get into the playoffs and make a great run. With the team that we have, there's no excuses. We should definitely be in the playoffs and make a good run for ourselves.
Scotty, closely, in the past few years since you got drafted, have you been following that draft process? And obviously, their eyes on this where they could end up in the draft lottery?
I think just knowing basketball and just being a fan of basketball and loving the game, of course you're just going to watch basketball. Of course, I've watched the NBA, but I have guys that's still in college that I know. And then you just still see stuff online in the media. But for sure, you see those – you know, top guys and see the things that they do. You see some stars that's under the map in college as well. That's really good. But, of course, you know, you see certain type of people that you think would fit the team and see what they do out there on the floor. And, you know, you take notice of that. I think the main thing for my hand, it just needs some rest. That's the main thing for it. But, you know, it affected it where I can't really feel the ball. I can't really grip the ball as I'm accustomed to gripping it. So that's really the main thing. Sometimes it doesn't can't get the same follow through. So it impacted the way, but, you know, it is what it is. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys.
All right, good stuff from Scotty there.
Got a playoff guarantee.
Yeah, no excuses.
Yep.
You think that's a, I think that's a reasonable place for them to, like, set the bar and the goal for next year.
I'm excited for next year.
Me too.
These young guys, like, you make such a big jump, in my opinion. Like, these rookies from year one to year two, I'm excited to see what they look like next year, having the confidence and experience they built this season. Definitely a silver lining to all the injuries.
Yeah, and then you're also going to have, like,
Ingram and...
Yeah, you add Ingram in
healthy
there.
Healthy people, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We were looking at the games played. It was insane. Outside Jamal Shedd, second place with Scotty Barnes with 65.
Yeah.
That's insane bad luck in the health department.
And
I mean, they're arresting guys, too, and down the stretch, but regardless, you never really get to see what the whole squad looked like.
No,
and when it mattered.
The main topic of our conversation early in the year when they first suffered those couple injuries is like, well, we haven't seen the core together. We haven't seen Barnes and Barrett and Dick and Quickly, you know, and Pirtle play very many minutes together. And that minutes total is still low, but now it's changed entirely where we're going to go into next season and Ingram has played 0 minutes with any of these guys, which is,
yeah, you know, but he's a little older.
No, I just mean, like, we haven't seen what it looks like and the chemistry. So, like, I'm optimistic how it's going to look offensively, for sure. We just will have seen no minutes of them together.
I think he's – I'm curious how he's going to adjust his game to the system, mm-hmm. though. That'll be fun to watch and monitor.
Yeah, and they've got a whole offseason now to, you know, if the system needs some tweaks. You know, the biggest thing, at least statistically, is Ingram ran way more pick and rolls than this team normally runs. This isn't a high pick and roll team. Right. He's a high pick and roll scorer. Do you add that element in? Do you get him going away from that a little bit? You know, obviously, I think obviously he's going to spot up a little bit more than he did in New Orleans because Scotty's going to have the ball sometimes. But you've got a lot you can do when you've got three guys on the floor who, four if you include RJ, who can initiate pick and roll, at least two who can be the screener and Scotty and Jakob Poeltl. It certainly makes your rotations easier too if you have that many guys that you're comfortable, you know, running some offense.
Yeah, and you have four guys who average 5+ assists.
Yeah.
So a lot of different directions you can go. If you can get all four of them buying into kind of the overall philosophy offensively that we saw this year, that's really hard to guard when you have four guys like that, plus Jakob in the middle, all able to dribble, pass, shoot, make plays.
And then your second unit is potentially like the four rookies from this year.
Just
plus
energy.
Yeah.
Pick up the pace, pick up the defensive pressure.
Yeah, and guys will be in and out of the rotation and stuff like that. We haven't even, like, where does Grady Dick fit in this? Where does Ochai Agbaji fit in this?
Agbaji, 40% from three.
39.9.
I'm giving him 40,
He
Blake.
Missed one.
Blake, I knew you were going to do that, too.
It's because he should
have... Rounded up.
He should have stopped shooting when he... This is like the baseball game 162 thing. If you're hitting .300001, you don't take an at-bat on the last day of the season.
My hammy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then on the other side of that, Jameson Battle finished just over 40%. So, yeah, Ochai, 39.9. Sorry, bud. Sorry, bud. You're not,
not 40.
You're not a 40% three-point shooter.
Blake
not according to me, according to math.
Listen, no, you could round it up.
But here's the thing is every stat site goes to one decimal place. If we were like, if none of the stat site had a decimal place, I would say fine. You round it up. But
fair
every
enough.
One of them is to a decimal place.
Okay, technically
place,
so. You're right.
Still a huge growth season for Ochai Agbaji.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a break. Let's play some Jakob Poeltl when we come back. Let's talk a little bit about the playoff matchups too, because the Raptors won't be involved. Hopefully they're involved next year. I think certainly they'll be involved at least in the play-in next year with the goal to maybe be the sixth seed and avoid the play-in entirely. We got some fun matchups after a crazy day of Western Conference basketball yesterday. We'll talk about that. We'll hear some Jakob Poeltl as the Raptors show continues with Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner. Welcome back to the Raptors show. Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner. Raptors cleaning out their lockers today. We heard from Scotty Barnes a little earlier. I just paraphrased Brandon Ingram's because it was not the most high electricity. He is not exactly the Rock on the microphone.
He's not Lil Jon.
No, very soft-spoken. He seems like a very smart guy and like thoughtful in his answers and stuff like that. But not exactly, you know, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment or anything like that, you know?
No, I mean, listen, like, everybody has their own communication style, their own vibe.
I think that it could be helpful to have a guy like that who's just, like, so
calm,
chill and even-keeled and, like, you can't rattle him.
Right.
It's good. I like that. I like – there's a good personality mix like that on the team. I want
to
play
– I always like people like that, too, because you try to make them laugh.
Yes.
It's fun to try to make – like, with Kawhi. I would love trying to get a rise out of Kawhi because it's so hard.
Yeah. How often were you successful?
You know, every other day probably.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's not
But you got to put some thought and effort into it.
Kawhi, by the way, who's going up against Jokic and the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs.
Clippers are on fire. I got Clippers in that one.
Finishing the season to winning eight in a row to avoid the play-in, and you get the Nuggets. Kawhi's playing really well. The Clippers are playing really well. Harden and Norm have obviously have great seasons. And Zubats, who both of us really like, has had like definitely an all-defense caliber season. And I think it's probably been slept on a little bit because Clippers play on the West Coast. And, you know, he's like the fourth most notable guy on the team. He's going to go up against Jokic for a series. If he's as good in that series as he has been all season defensively, you're going to hear a lot of people being like, oops, I should have had Zubats on my all-defense ballot, I think.
I agree. And, yeah, Denver's in trouble, I think. Fired their coach.
Fired their GM. The Pelicans did that today, too, by the way. They let David Griffin go. There's conflicting reports about if Willie Green got let go as well, their head coach. But, yeah, the Pelicans cleaning house. Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean.
Makes more sense than the Nuggets doing it three games before the playoffs, that's for sure.
I feel bad for David Griffin because I thought on paper the roster he constructed looked very dangerous. Just so many injuries. I think that maybe the DeJounte Murray was like a last gasp to try to save it.
I don't think either of us liked that at the time. And then given how much Dyson Daniels improved this year, it looks even worse a year later.
Yep.
It's a tough one. Okay, back to sound defensive centers. Not going to play the entire Jakob Poeltl interview from earlier, but obviously Jakob's another guy who is pretty smart to listen to and pretty informative when he talks X's and O's stuff and roster build stuff. So I'm going to play a couple minutes from his media availability a little earlier today. Here's Jak.
Statistically, I think that was the best season of your career by a pretty good amount. How did you feel about your own personal place?
There's always ups and downs, but I think overall, I think I've made a step in the right direction. I think I was talking to Darko about this in our meeting. I just felt more comfortable being more aggressive in different types of situations. And I think that shows just like on the stat sheet, like offensively, where I was taking a lot more shots and I was, I think, more involved in a active sort of way, whereas in the past I was maybe more like a passive piece of our offense where like I would help other guys get shots. But this year it felt like I had more opportunities and, like I said, I was more comfortable just, like, I guess, attacking it head on. And that's how that turned out.
And to that, the team plays a ton of delay, just like you make the decisions for the offense. How did you feel about your progression and the choices you made from start to end?
I think that's still a part of it where I would like to see some improvement because I think I can make good reads, but like the part where I want to take a next step is like making that like secondary read. Like if the first option seems open, but then it might not be because there's a rotation, like taking advantage of that, where like almost like from a point guard point of view, where like you have to be aware of like your first, second, and then third option, and like which part of it the defense is taking away, and like having some more poise in those situations. It's not easy. It's obviously like a really like hard thing to do. And for me, I think I have a good idea of what's going on in a game. I just don't have that much experience in a like real playmaking role. So just getting better at that, I think, is something that I want to work on, but I think it's also just a matter of like getting more and more experience and reps in those situations.
Outside of doing it in the game, how do you get better at that?
I mean, you can try to drill it, like you can set up situations, but I think it's really difficult because it's difficult to reenact real game situations. And like even if I set up a drill where I have like defenders that can take away multiple situations, like I'm never going to be able to recreate kind of like the speed and the pressure and like not knowing what's going to happen next. Like in a drill, I'm always going to know, okay, this is my option 1, 2, 3 in a game. Like it's going to happen much quicker. So I think that's honestly the best way to get better at it is just being exposed to these situations in a game. But yeah, I'm going to try to my best to do it outside of games as well, obviously.
How do you picture your role, other than screening a lot, when you're sharing the floor with potentially all three of Scotty, RJ, and Brandon?
I mean, I honestly don't know. Like, I don't think my role as far as, like, what I do for our offense is going to change that much. Like, if anything, the volume might go down a little bit if we have more plays for BI coming in or like different types of offensive strategies now involving him. Like obviously I don't know about that yet, and like that's going to be the coach's job to figure out how we're going to balance all of that. But as far as I'm aware and as far as my communication with the coaches goes, like I think our play style, we still want to like play a similar brand of basketball where we share the ball a lot. I don't think we're going to all of a sudden turn into like a screen and roll or an ISO team or anything like that. We're still going to want to move the ball around, and I think I'm still going to be like a central part of that, kind of as that connector. Yeah.
Yeah, at the start of the year, you mentioned that you wanted to make sure that your vision of the future of the team kind of aligned with the organization's vision. How have you felt that's evolved over the course of the year, and just what are your thoughts on the organization as a whole moving forward?
I'm really positive as far as like the outlook goes. Like I think we showed that we have a really good foundation that we can build on here, and I think even like our front office has showed that they want to build on that foundation quickly with like trade, like getting BI in. Obviously, like we still have to test this whole ship. Like we haven't had a chance, like even with the guys that we had. Without considering BI, like we didn't have a whole lot of time on the court together with like injuries, and then obviously the end of the season being what it was. Hopefully even over the summertime we'll get some time in together, like where we have everybody on the court together, kind of get that kick started. But I think I'm happy with where we're heading, and it's trending in the right direction, and now it's just about going out there and getting it.
On the freedom of like the trust from the coach, touched on like kind of like high post and just ball movement in general, but what do you feel like worked really well for you?
I think the trust and the chemistry in all kinds of different two-man games between like all our main guys out there has really elevated this like the offensive output for myself, because like if I'm just getting into more situations where they know where I'm going to be, and like I feel like I'm getting in a comfortable situation where I can take a shot that I know I can make. So that leads to me having more of a rhythm, more shot opportunities, and then like more points at the end of the day. So developing that with Scotty, with Quick, RJ, obviously like are the main guys, and then I think that's really what helped it out the most, I think.
I love when a player comes on and hits some of the talking points we had just mentioned. It's like, okay, we're on the right track. If Jakob feels similarly, it is interesting. The question he got asked about how his role maybe changes, and you know, like actually what he's doing on the court probably doesn't change a ton, but scoring opportunities are maybe down. He averaged a career high 14.5 points this year, career high usage percentage, shot 63% from the field, even with the extra touches. How do you imagine that's going to work out with him? You know, again, there are going to be more mouths to feed and fewer rests than injury, hopefully next year and stuff. He's obviously a guy that, whether it's 10 field goal attempts or 6, like he's kind of the same guy.
Yeah, I think scoring wise, he hit the nail on the head. There's more mouths to feed out there, especially with Brandon Ingram. If RJ, IQ, Scotty, they're all healthy. I mean, there were so many points where they needed him to step up and be aggressive, be more aggressive than he normally would be offensively. He's still going to have his moments, but in general, I think he's right. Like, he's a connector. He's a guy you don't have to run a play with for. You don't have to worry about him on the court. He's going to do what is going to give his team the best chance to win. And if that means shooting less shots,
because now you got Brandon Ingram out there and these other guys who are, you know, more go-to offensive scoring types. So be it. He's still going to crash the offensive glass. He's going to be in the right place for a dump down pass. Or if you need a release, emergency release in the pocket, like he'll make himself available and he'll make the right play out of there, whether that's scoring for himself. You heard him talking about making a secondary read. You know, it's easy to make the first read, not easy, but the first read when you catch it in the pocket. All right, weak side, low is committed. I'm going to the corner. But maybe they pre-rotated to the corner, and that's not the pass. It's the next pass off whoever rotated. So, like, improving that. Other than that, like, if I'm Yach, like I said, just keep doing what you're doing. He'll adjust accordingly what the coaches want from him, what the offense is going to look like based on the personnel on the court. Roll the ball out, and he's going to help you.
Yeah, it's also great. It feels silly to say this after he just had like such a remarkable offensive season and shot 63% from the floor, but his efficiency is probably going to go up too, because you know, this year the Raptors didn't really have anyone who is that big of a, and I know they didn't run a ton of screen and roll, but when they did, or if Yach was the screener and coming off of that, there weren't a lot of guys who were big threats to score. So it was not easy, but like you can safely keep your big on Jakob Poeltl in those situations. His offensive rebounds were still really high, but not quite as high as they were in San Antonio. And now if, you know, there are more perimeter oriented players shooting, he's around the paint a little bit more, and offensive rebound putbacks are obviously a very high percentage shot. So I wonder if he's ends up being, you know, back in like the 65% range as a field goal shooter, which is, feels like an unfair bar, but feels like it's doable for him.
For sure. But we know what you're like. He's arguably the most consistent player, not just on the Raptors, but maybe in the league.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. So like, he's just the guy I'm not worried about.
No, I'm not worried about it. I'm just like, saying it could be cool.
What he does is going to be dictated on what is needed of him to give the team the best chance to win, and the personnel, and what type of offensive situations they're putting those guys in.
Okay. I think the only guy left that we haven't really talked about as an end-of-season wrap, and this is because he's been hurt for a good chunk of it. When we just laid out the starting lineup and then I mentioned the bench, I almost forgot Grady Dick in there. And
Totally been not talking about Grady Dick.
He hasn't played in a couple months at this point. He averaged 14 points this year, shot 35% on threes. And look, we should acknowledge the Raptors, if they don't want to be a luxury tax team, something might change on this roster, whether that's Grady or Ochai or one of the presumed starters. But how do you see Grady fitting in with this? And, you know, kind of where, other than the health of the bone bruise, what is his priority this offseason?
Well, we heard Scotty Barnes talk about how he was experimenting with some of the stuff offensively. I think kind of, I don't know if it was intentional, but it felt like an experimental year for Grady Dick, especially in the beginning when everybody was hurt. And it's like, you got the green light,
mm-hmm.
and we need you to be super aggressive offensively. He was able to get a lot of reps in that a young player at 20 years old wouldn't normally get, where you can like go out and experiment and, you know, all right, tonight I'm Klay Thompson. I'm flying off staggers and screens and pulling up off the dribble 4 feet behind the line. Let's see what that feels like and looks like. All right, I'm going to the rack and I'm dipsy doing, like Dickie V says, double clutch, jelly roll, layup, back acrobatic layup finishes. All right, tonight I'm trying to dunk on everybody. Like we saw like every iteration of what you could do offensively. And I think he needs to like look at the film, look at all that data, and all right, what worked, what didn't, what was I comfortable with, what do I think is an opportunity that like, hey, if I work on this, I can get this. Because some of it worked, some of it didn't, which is fine. That's kind of the point of the season. When you talk about developing young players, especially in the beginning when all those guys were hurt, at times it looked a little wild to me, and some questionable shot selection. He kind of honed it in when guys started coming back in healthy, but then he kind of like, I felt like he kind of disappeared at times, but the one thing you don't have to worry about with him is like maximum effort every time he's on the court. And that's great. Like that's the greatest foundation, starting point, building block you can have for a young player. Like you don't have to worry about his motor
how hard he's going to play. You know, he wants to win. He's going to play winning basketball. He's going to hustle. He's going to do all those things. He has every skill in the book. He's the strength and athleticism going to the hoop from last year to this year. He made a huge leap. He's still, 21? That he's still going to keep getting way stronger. That's going to make another big leap next year. So now it's just a matter of, all right, I got to hone this in a little bit. How am I going to find that happy balance of what we saw in the beginning of the year and what we saw at the end of the year? And that takes time. You got to, again, he's only 21.
Mm-hmm.
Like he should be in college. So it's just a process, and it's going to be fun to see the leap he made from last year to this year, and then again going from this year to next year.
And to see him not be the number one guy on the scouting report, which he was for, like, or number two guy for like 20, 25 games this year.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And you talked about maybe Jakob gets more efficient because teams aren't as locked in on him when you got to worry about Brandon Ingram and everybody else being healthy. It's going to be the same thing with him. Like if he can figure out where and when to attack and hit the gas, Grady Dick could be way more efficient too.
That'd be fun to see, and potentially either as a fifth starter, if the other things change, or propping up the second unit.
Again, either way, it was really fun watching him this year. I loved it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's been a fun year individually, even if the 30 wins is the exact mark that nobody wanted on either direction. Okay, for the last time this season, it's time now for Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. We got a couple of play-in games tomorrow, nothing on the docket tonight. But we got Hawks at Magic. The Magic are 5.5-point favorites in that one. Grizzlies at Warriors. The Warriors are 6.5-point favorites in that one. So those are the 7-8 matchups. The winners of those matchups will face the Celtics and Rockets, respectively. The loser will then face the winner of Wednesday's play-in games, which are Miami at Chicago and Dallas at Sacramento. The winner of those games on Friday then get Cleveland at OKC. I'd certainly prefer Houston to OKC. I don't think there's a good answer in getting Boston or Cleveland on the Eastern Conference side. Your other playoff matchups, by the way, Bucks at Pacers, Clippers at Nuggets, which we talked about, Pistons at Knicks, which should be cool, Wolves at Lakers, which is really interesting. You get to see, you know, Ant's going to try to show out against the Lake show, and we get to see Luka and LeBron in a playoff series. Do you have a lean on Hawks, Magic, or Grizzlies, Warriors?
I like Magic. The Warriors, Grizzlies is interesting. You talk about a heartbreaking loss the Warriors faced. Like, I want to see how they emotionally and physically refill the cup, because they went all out to win that game. It was an absolute war. They got to refill that cup and come back and get this win against the Grizzlies, see how they bounce back.
Yeah, and it's like the incentive, obviously, the reason that Golden State and the Clippers both wanted that so bad yesterday was to avoid the play-in entirely.
Yeah.
And if you win this first play-in, you still get a couple days off before that first playoff round versus having to play Friday and then turn around and start your playoff series on Sunday. If you're an older team like Golden State, if you've got a banged-up Jimmy Butler after the other game, it's huge.
Yeah.
And Memphis is obviously super interesting for a whole host of other reasons.
And I feel like if you're Memphis at this point, you kind of have no pressure on you. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So
interesting spot. Yep. That was Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. And with that, we are done for the season. You can check out social medias and Sportsnet's YouTube channel for more of the end of season media availabilities. Wanted to give a thank you to Amit Mann, who's been our producer over the course of the year, helping us prep these shows and organize guests and things like that. Jennifer Rolnick, our technical director, behind the glass as well. And then Jake Schultz, who's here today, and Austin Mackey, who's often in that spot on the board as well. Matt, tomorrow in this slot, 11 a.m. starts Jays Talk Plus officially. I'll just roll right into Blue Jays. I got to head to the arena right after this, actually. It's Vlad Intro Presser Day, and then Blue Jay Central a little later. Jays Talk Plus in this spot. What do you got going on for the summer? How stoked are you?
I'm pumped, Blake. I'm going to take a couple days and refill my cup and relax, and then, I don't know, just kids stuff mostly.
Yeah, and we'll get together next week and watch some playoff ball.
Kid house stuff.
Yeah.
Dadding. Hashtag dadding.
And watching as a fan instead of watching for work, right?
Of course, watching as a fan. Last bit of banter. Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, not an iTunes essential album.
What?
Embarrassing. That's all I got for you.
No, come back next year with a list of the top 10 albums you think should be essentials, and we'll find a spot for them over the course of the season.
No problem.
We'll talk to you guys probably May 12th for draft lottery, if not in October. Have a great offseason and Monday.